If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com. Sport Dog is the most recognized brand in the hunting dog training industry. The Sport Dog promise to consumers is simple. Gear the way you'd design it. Every product Sport Dog builds is meticulously designed and rigorously tested in the field, ensuring it withstands the toughest conditions you and your dog may encounter.
I've used that Sport Dog collar in different temperatures. It just doesn't stop working.
Get 20% off your first purchase using code MEATEATER. So go to www.sportdog.com/MEATEATER to learn more. Montana Casting Company is a performance fly rod and reel company based right here in our capital, Helena, Montana. Each model of fly rod is a tribute to Montana's rugged beauty and adventurous spirit. Their rods capture the look, feel, and craftsmanship of a custom-built fly rod. Scott personally calls every customer who buys one of his rods. Head to MontanaCastingCo.com and use code MEATEATER20 at checkout for a one-time 20% off discount.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Giannis Poutelis, Brody Henderson, Randall Williams, Christine Sawicki, Chester Floyd, Logan Dove, Tressa Croker, and Seth Morris. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. In each week here on Trivia, we reveal a new stat. For the stat of the week this week, we're looking at the average winning scores after 60 games of Trivia. Now, on last week's show, we learned that the average player score has risen by 14% throughout the history of the show, but will the winning scores have the same trend? Well, over the first 20 games, the average winning score was 7.1. Over the next 20 games, the average score was 7.33. And over the last 20 games, the average winning score was 7.55. So that's a 6% increase for the average winning scores compared to a 14% increase for all player scores. That means our trivia winners are improving, but their competition is improving even more. How do you feel about that, Brody, as the winningest player in the room?
Makes sense, I guess.
You're getting a little better, but the other seven folks in the room are doing even better than that.
Yeah, we just had a three-way tiebreaker last
three-way
time.
Three-way tiebreaker. Yanni? You feel like the questions have gotten easier in trivia? Has it been easier to win a game? What do you think?
No, I've been stuck at 8 wins for, it seems like a year now.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe you break it
6
today.
Months.
Now, here's our 0%er question of the week, which tests how much knowledge players have retained from previous games. This question was from episode 353. The topic was hunting, and nobody got it right. What country was given its first elk and moose by Teddy Roosevelt?
Oh, I was not there, but I bet you I can answer it.
Go ahead, Zealand. That's right. Nobody in the room that day got it right, though. The incorrect answers given were the United Kingdom and Japan, but the correct answer was New Zealand. We have some housekeeping to get to. In a previous game of trivia, way back in episode 402, we had a tie-breaking question about the average cost of a white-tailed deer shoulder mount. I got that number by looking at the prices for over 30 taxidermists across the country, which was $695.31.
Wow.
Well, taxidermist Ashley Eve, who is part of the Deer Mounts of America Facebook page, recently gathered her own data on this. She surveyed 661 taxidermists in America and asked them what they charge for a shoulder-mounted deer. Her polling showed that the average price was $721.35, which is a $26 difference from what I came up with 6 months ago. Ashley's data had more interesting tidbits, like that Alaska is the most expensive place to get a deer mounted, followed by Washington, Nebraska, California, and Hawaii. Those were the only five states with an average shoulder mount costing more than $900. The cheapest states to get a mount were Delaware, Alabama, Kentucky, and North Carolina. They were the only four states with an average price under $600. Ashley also found that 5.54% of taxidermists charge more than $1,000 for a shoulder-mounted deer, and that Canada's average price is about $50 more than America's. Wow. Does that check out for what you think you know about deer mounts?
Yeah.
The Southeast, her whole map was color coordinated. If you live in the Southeast, you live in the cheapest area to get a deer mounted. If you live in the Northwest, you live in the most expensive area.
Would that have changed the results of that trivia?
Now, back to the tiebreaker itself, Seth. Even if we use Ashley's new data, that would not change the outcome of the game. In that episode, Giannis said $700 and Brody said $899, meaning Giannis was still closer.
Well done.
So there we go.
Good job, Yanni.
Brody, you even argued that day. You said, I don't think that number can be right. Well, now our data pool is 661 strong. Do you still feel like it's higher than the 700?
I have no idea. I've never got one mounted.
It's trending towards Brody's answer.
Though. Okay, sure. Maybe if we revisit in a decade.
Blowing up that sample size.
Come back in a decade and Brody wins. Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 4, so our winner should get 8 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question one, the topic is cooking. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Tate Romnes for sending this great question. Tate is going to get a book signed by Steve. What is the second best grade that a steak can receive from the USDA? Is it select, prime, superior, or choice? Again, the topic is cooking. What is the second best grade that a steak can receive from the USDA? Your four choices are select, prime, superior, or choice. You need to tell me which one of those is the second best grade.
You know it, Brody.
No, I mean, when you eat deer and elk all the time, what are you going to know about, like... cattle cuts and how they're graded.
Randall with a quick answer. Randall, would have you gotten this one without the choices, you think?
No, and I don't even know that I'll get it with the choices. Okay. So,
how about Chester, Seth? You boys going to get this one right?
Same as Randall.
Again, same as Randall.
What
same
is
as Brody.
The second best grade that a steak can receive from the USDA? Select, prime, superior, choice. Does everybody have an answer?
Select, prime...
superior, and choice.
Yep, I got a...
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brody saying choice, Tressa saying select, Seth saying select, Chet saying prime, Christine saying choice, Giannis saying choice, Randall saying choice, Logan saying prime. The correct answer is choice. The room did pretty well. For beef, the grading scale goes prime, choice, select, standard, commercial, utility, cutter, and canner. According to the USDA, a choice steak will be very tender, juicy, and flavorful, making it suitable for dry heat cooking. The bottom three grades, which are utility, cutter, and canner, rarely make it to retail, and if they do, they're turned into ground beef, processed products, and pet food.
Gotta say, that one wandered a little outside the wild game category.
Question two, the topic is conservation.
Just a little bit.
What does the acronym LC stand for when labeling an animal's risk for extinction? What does the acronym LC stand for when labeling an animal's risk for extinction? Brody and Randall with quick answers. Seth, you got this one right?
No.
Come on, Seth.
Just first thing that came to mind.
Yanni looks like he's going to get it. Chet has not come up with an answer yet. Christine, how do you feel about your answer?
I don't have a feeling. I just wrote something.
Okay. What does the acronym LC stand for when labeling an animal's risk for extinction?
The L does not stand for love.
It's a hint from Yanni.
Damn it.
You threw out one.
Where's that eraser?
How many other words start with L? You got something written down over there, Logan?
I do, yeah.
Tressa, do you have an answer? Christine, good?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brody saying least concern, Tressa saying lowest choice, Seth saying last chance. Christine also said last chance. I love that. It's not
last
right.
Choice, son.
Chet saying last critter, which is also very good. Giannis saying least concern. Randall saying least concern. Logan also said last chance. I don't know how you guys did that.
Wow.
That's a good answer.
I want to give it to him. I want to give him like a half a point or something.
It's their last chance, you know?
Except for his actions.
It's the opposite.
The opposite. The correct answer is least concern.
Wow.
If we were to redo the scale, though, I think that would be at the bottom. It'd be LC last chance. If an animal is listed as least concerned, then biologists have determined that it's at no risk for ending up on the endangered species list. Other labels used are near threatened, vulnerable, endangered, critically endangered, and extinct. Some animals with an LC designation include whitetails, blue jays, largemouth bass, and painted turtles. Question 3. The topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us via Caleb O'Connell. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. According to a 2020 survey, anglers in this state catch the most saltwater fish in America.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the topic is fishing. According to a 2020 survey, anglers in this state catch the most saltwater fish in America.
Like number of species,
number of
fish.
The total number. If they catch the same exact fish a billion times.
But it's not per capita.
Is this
not per capita.
Recreational.
Commercial.
What state? This was a commercial survey.
Excuse me.
Recreational. It's not commercial. This is not commercial. This is a recreational survey. According to a 2020 survey, anglers in this state catch the most saltwater fish in America, strictly recreational.
How are you feeling about this one, Seth?
You know, I feel like the state I pick catch a lot of fish.
Kansas.
Yeah.
Is it on the ocean?
Yeah.
You know, it is on the ocean.
That's a 100%. Hint. Brody, I think we're waiting on you.
Was it residents of the state?
No.
No. Just anglers that show up there.
Brody, how we doing?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Is everybody ready?
Let's go.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brody saying Florida. Tressa saying Florida. Seth saying Florida. The entire room said Florida. They got it. The correct answer is Florida. About half of the country's 1 billion saltwater fish that were caught in 2020 came from Florida. That's followed by North Carolina at 72 million, New York at 70 million, Virginia at 58 million, New Jersey at 55 million, and South Carolina at 50 million.
And California was in that list?
Was not in the top. They weren't even in like the top 6 or 7.
Wow.
But you'd think like California, I thought Hawaii might trip people up. But they're not at the top of the list. Question 4, the topic is hunting. What nonprofit publishes the magazine Fair Chase? Again, the topic is hunting. What nonprofit publishes the magazine Fair Chase? Quick answer from Randall and Brody and Giannis. Brody, are you going to get this one right?
I'll be mad if I don't.
Randall, do you have this one right?
I think so.
Okay. Rest of the room is filing in with some answers. How about you, Chester?
No, I don't have an answer. Don't feel good about it.
Seth, while Chester comes up with an answer, tell us about the walleye tournament you got coming up.
Oh, I'm not fishing it.
Oh, you're not. Oh, that's right. Tell us why you're not fishing it, though.
I'm not fishing it because it's my first wedding anniversary. I promised my wife we'd do something.
Go walleye fishing?
And in return, she promised that she would never, impede my ability to fish that tournament again.
Okay, so if this tournament happens the exact same time again next year, you'll be there.
I'll be there.
You and Kelsey have an agreement.
So she's trading the first anniversary for the rest of them.
Yes.
Okay. Chester's planning on winning that.
Uh-huh.
I'm fishing it, and I'm going to go
who's,
in there
who's
trying to win.
Who's your partner?
I feel good about it. Our buddy Casey Underwood, he makes these mugs and stuff.
Such a good artist.
He also has some of his artwork on our Meat Eater merch and First Light. Go check it out.
Chester, how has pre-fishing gone so far? This episode is coming out way in the future.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about giving any tips.
It's going really well. It's going really well. The lake that we're fishing is historically challenging to catch one fish, like over 20 inches.
Uh-huh.
And we are going in there every single time and finding fish over 20 inches.
Ooh.
So if we get 5 bites, they're probably going to be the right ones. And over the 2 days, if we can get 10 fish in the boat, I think there's a high likelihood that we could win it.
Pulling for you, Chester. Anxiously awaiting. Hearing
that, Seth, does that make you a little sad?
It does.
Although he helped us.
I've been
heavily
involved with finding this specific pattern that they're going to be fishing this weekend.
I'm just struck by what a great interview response that was. It was like a pregame football coach, just like.
Can we go the day after the tournament and then just go keep all those fish?
Yeah. Well, not all of them because there's a slot limit. Mm. But we can go catch some eaters, of course.
Is this a release tournament? You snap a photo and release it, or what's the deal?
There's two options. This is kind of a rare one. You have an option to keep them in your live well and like bring in 5 fish, or you can do the catch, capture, release camera thing where you take a picture of it on the bump board and turn in only 5 photos at the end of the day.
Good luck, Chester. Again, we are on question 4. What nonprofit publishes the magazine Fair Chase? Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brody saying Boone and Crockett, Tressa saying BLM, Seth saying Boone and Crockett, Chet saying QDM, Christine saying NDA, Giannis saying Boone and Crockett, Randall saying Boone and Crockett, Logan saying BHA. The correct answer is the Boone and Crockett Club. The magazine is named after the phrase that the conservation organization created. The earliest recorded usage of the term fair chase is in the 5th article of the Boone and Crockett Club's constitution, which was adopted in February of 1888. The magazine is published quarterly with a bonus issue at the end of the year that's called the Fair Chase Yearbook. Question 5. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. The topic is foraging. This next great question comes to us via Wes Gall. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Merriam-Webster defines this 5-letter word as a spout inserted in a tree to draw off sap. Merriam-Webster defines this 5-letter word as a spout inserted in a tree to draw off sap. Logan with a quick answer. Logan, are you going to get this one right?
There was 6 letters in it, so no.
Okay.
Wait, say that again.
Merriam-Webster defines this 5-letter word as a spout inserted in a tree to draw off sap.
Well, that ain't what we called it.
Right. It's not what we call it.
Does anybody feel good about their answer they have?
Does anybody have an answer?
I'm probably going to be kicking myself, I bet. I mean, we tapped a ton of sugar maples in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm.
You probably use this tool that Merriam-Webster defines this 5-letter word as a spout inserted in a tree to draw off sap.
What letter does it start with?
Not going to give you any hints. Yanni? You think you'll ever come up with it?
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
Okay. We have a lot of folks from the Northwoods here where this activity takes place. Not many people that are confident.
I buy and eat a lot of syrup from that's made by Chester's family.
Okay.
Over there in Wiscany. Really enjoy it.
Randall, do you have a five-letter word? Okay, Randall does
not. I started
not.
With a six-letter word. Back to square one.
I'd feel better if I could just think of that one.
Oh, that's not the right answer, though.
No, I know, but at least I'd have something.
Brody, are you going to come up with an answer?
Yeah.
The room may be stumped.
Ooh, man.
Is everybody ready?
No.
Are you writing something now, Yanni?
Yes.
No. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brody saying stipe, Tressa saying spout, Seth without an answer, Chester without an answer, Christine without an answer, Giannis saying crank, Randall saying spike, Logan saying spout. Nobody got it, but people flirted with the right answer, which was spile.
It was so good.
Spile. Other names for a spile include a tap, tapper, and spout, the practice of tapping trees. Dates back to before European contact. One Native American legend speaks of a time when pure maple syrup flowed right from the trees. But a powerful prince learned that this made his tribe lazy, so he covered the trees with bark, diluted the syrup with water, and only made it available in spring. Now that you've heard spile, does that sound right to you, Chester, Yanni? That sound like a word that was in your brain somewhere?
Man, I don't know if we've ever used that.
Never heard that word.
Really? Never heard of a spile.
Be a good one for Wordle, though.
It's called a tap.
I was going to say, when it comes up in Wordle here in the next couple years, that'll be one of those days where I'm like, S-P-I-T, S-P-I-V-E, S-T-V-I, and just keep guessing, because I won't remember.
Until you run out.
I believe we sell the family's maple syrup on the website in those bloody, or those old-fashioned kits.
Uh-huh. They probably came out of a spile that Chester's family tapped into a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Logan, Tressa, and Chester all have 1 point apiece. Seth and Christine have 2 points. And tied up in first place are Randall, Brody, and Giannis with 4 points.
Phil, you don't sound too excited.
I'm having a great time, Giannis.
Ask if you make the request for him to bring more energy, he will. So that was officially Yanni's request.
Pump
Phil,
it up, Phil. Okay. Next,
when we get to the question, when we turn the corner at question 8, we need a little more energy.
Got it.
You can go further with Can-Am. I'm telling you, man, I don't care if you're hunting on a farm, hunting on a ranch, hunting out on public, cruising up and down the beach down in Baja, out in the desert in Sonora where we hunt coos deer. Riding a Can-Am is just funner than riding a vehicle. Everything about it's better. And you can check these two models out, the Defender. This is the undefeatable workhorse from Can-Am. Because like you, it never quits in the face of the toughest work. And it's got HVAC, which keeps you protected from the elements. And you enjoy the perfect temperature when it's freezing cold or real hot. Heavy-duty Rotax engine with a class-leading 69 pound-feet of torque. And check this out. Up to 2,500 pounds towing capacity. The Outlander 500 or 700. This is an all-capable workhorse. Nothing you can't overcome. HD5, HD7 engines that power through any job. Engineered with the strength, features, and build to never let you down. So you're getting reliability and a quality build ready for any job with 125 accessory options. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online, visit canamoffroad.com/hunting. Hey, if you're a hat person, and you know, pretty much everybody that hangs out outside a lot is a hat person, you need to check out the Heartbeat brand. These guys make the most unique, comfortable, like just extremely well-made hats you're going to put on your head. These are hats reimagined. You guys see it for yourself. One of the cool things, I mean, they're like well-made, great material hats, okay? Like durable, long-lasting hats. But one of the cool things that is the logo, okay? Their kind of theme is like what makes your heart beat. So they have a hunting heartbeat, fishing heartbeat, different state heartbeats, okay? 400 styles, so like a heartbeat integrated into the style. 400 styles, something for everybody. They're putting their passion into fashion. So they got a spring special going on right now, all right, at theheartbeatbrand.com. Two hats for $60. These are good, high-quality, premium hats. Four for $100, or 20% off, okay, with our promo code MeatEater at checkout. Again, theheartbeatbrand.com. I challenge you to live with passion. So check it out, theheartbeatbrand.com. Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. Now, this is a good innovation here, and it solves a real problem, okay? So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools, like a griddle on your grill. It's pre-seasoned with food-safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. There's no use of coatings, okay? You can use metal tools to flip, press, and scrape without worry. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. Now, everything, the problem with griddles, everything rusts. No one talks about how bad everything rusts. The reason they don't, because they couldn't fix it until now. Well, Weber's new rust-resistant technology, your Weber grill will last for years. When used, the carbon steel griddle hardens and bonds the surface, reducing the ability for moisture to collect and rust to form. With the new Weber Works Prep Cook and Store system, you can keep cooking and cleaning supplies handy, carry food and condiments from the kitchen to the griddle, and even convert the side table into a prep station. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle.
Question six, the topic is fishing. The bones of an angler who drowned in 1998 was among the four human bodies discovered in this receding lake in 2022. The bones of an angler who drowned in 1998 was among the four human bodies discovered in this receding lake in 2022. A lot of the room needed to hear that a second time to come up with an answer. Yanni, do you think you have this one right?
I do, as long as...
Okay, he thinks he does.
Seth,
do you have this one right?
I think I do.
Chester, do you have this one right?
I don't have an answer yet.
Bones of an angler who drowned in 1998 was among the four human bodies discovered in this receding lake in 2022. A quiet room. Randall, do you think you have this one right?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Hmm.
Brody doing a lot of writing and erasing over here.
No, just trying to decide.
If we're running out of time, I think we are waiting on you. Everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brody saying Powell, Tressa saying Lake Mead, Seth saying Powell, Chester saying Devil's Lake, Christine saying Lake St. Clair, Giannis saying Mead, Randall saying Great Salt Lake, Logan saying Lake Powell. The correct answer is Lake Mead. A few folks got it right. Lake Mead was at an all-time low last year thanks to a 22-year drought. The first body of the year was found in a barrel that used to be underwater. The man inside had died from a gunshot wound to the head. As of April 2023, the victim still had not been identified. Detectives believe the man was killed sometime in the late 1970s or early 1980s because of his clothes from Kmart. Question seven. The topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via Chas Yancey. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. This is an audio question. Phil is going to play you 1 minute of a song from 1990. You need to tell me who the artist is. Take it away, Phil.
But many things aren't plenty anymore.
What's
like the water from our sink.
You need to tell me who the artist is.
You gotta go and buy it at the store.
Again, the topic is conservation. This is from 1990.
There's a hole in the old song. Look what's washing on the beach. And Lord, I believe from the heavens to the sea, we're bringing Mother Nature to her knees. So let's leave some blue up above us. Let's leave some green on the ground.
Man, I wish you guys could see the music video that I'm seeing right now.
Does it feel like you've been sent back to 1990, Phil?
I was thinking earlier, but
it does
yeah.
look like that. Chester, it seems like you're the only one who's come up with an answer. Do you think you have this one right?
I don't think I have it right.
Okay.
But it's very close.
Mm.
I know it's just so close if it's wrong.
Again, the topic is conservation. That song was from 1990, and you need to tell me who the artist is.
I think I got it as long as he just changed his voice a little bit for that song.
Same, right?
Dr. Dre, is that you put down?
Biggie.
Randall, are you going to get this one right? I feel like you are someone who has some knowledge of music trivia.
I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever heard that song
okay.
before.
Again, it's from 1990. The topic was conservation, and you need to tell me who the artist is. Chester, maybe the
country.
Only one who gets this one.
I
right.
got that
that's,
sense.
That's real country. Right
that's
there.
Real country. So yeah. Then I should change my answer.
Yeah. I kind of want to start. Never mind.
What do you want to do, Chester?
Start singing some other okay. songs real okay. quick.
Does everybody have an answer who's going to come up with an answer? Brody?
Sure.
Can I change real quick?
Sure, go ahead, Yanni.
Randall doesn't even have anything written down. So.
Can't come up with an artist from 1990 that may sound like that?
It's not Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Yanni, are you ready?
Yeah.
Brody, are you ready?
Sure.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brody saying Montgomery. Tressa saying George Strait.
Ooh, I was going to go George
Seth
Strait.
Seth saying Hank Jr. Chet saying Toby Keith. Christine saying Toby Keith. Yanni saying Garth Brooks. Randall without an answer. Logan saying Kenny Chesney. Nobody got it right. The correct answer is Alabama.
Mm.
Oh. Yeah.
Sounds a lot like Toby Keith, kind of.
You know what it does? Once you said that, it's easy to hear that being Toby Keith.
That was pre-Toby Keith, I think.
Yeah, it's too early.
90s?
Yeah, 1990. Yeah.
Toby Keith was singing in the 90s?
Not
I feel like should have been a cowboy was early 90s. I would bet it's close.
I was going to say Neil Young, because he's the one that would write a song.
Yeah, that song is called Pass It On Down, and it was released on Alabama's 1990 album of the same name. The song peaked on the American charts at number 3 and the Canadian charts at number 2. The wow. lyrics were inspired by mercury warnings for fish in a river that the band loved. It made them wonder what the river would look like when their grandkids fished it someday. Question 8, the topic is
well,
cooking.
Well, what's up with the river now, Spencer?
Yeah, I was just saying,
I don't know what the river was.
All right, well, next episode, Spencer's going to come back and tell us.
And we'll see where it's at 33 years later. Question 8, the topic is cooking. If you order El Pastor tacos, then what kind of meat are you getting? If you order El Pastor tacos, then what kind of meat are you getting? A pretty confident room coming off of a question that nobody got right. We've now had 2 0-percenters in this episode.
Alabama, Alabama, Alabama. Remember it. He's going to ask us again in about a month.
Right? Yanni, do you have this one right?
I think so.
Okay. I'll never forget the answer now that I know it.
If you order El Pastor tacos, then what kind of meat?
This is kind
are
of a multiple
getting?
Choice question,
seriously.
Really.
The rest of the room doesn't look so confident. Is everybody ready?
I'm not confident.
Chester?
There's a
great article in a recent New Yorker mm-hmm. about how Taco Bell goes about their ideation process and how they bring things like Crunchwrap Supreme to be. Uh-huh. I highly recommend everybody read it. Very interesting.
What did you learn? What did they like sit in a stoner's kitchen at 3 a.m. or what?
I'm sure there are some stoners that are part of the process, but yeah, it goes from like 10,000 ideas down to 70 that are put forth and actually messed with in this lab, and then it comes down to 10 annually. And yeah, it's not just the making of the food, but the marketing. It's very, very interesting.
How many bathrooms do you think are in that laboratory?
Yeah, that was an interesting part. One lady that did, I think it was the lady that made the Crunchwrap Supreme at the end, she was like, nah, I'm good. She passed when the dude brought her one.
Donnie, what would it take for you to get Taco Bell? When's the last time you had Taco Bell?
Reading that article kind of made me want to go and try one of these things. Some people drive hundreds of miles when like the new Doritos flavored whatever comes out, you know, and
it worked.
I don't know,
feel
like I'm missing out.
Does everybody have an answer?
The Crunchwrap's the best thing they've ever made,
and you can make them
as far
at
as
home.
I'm concerned. Yeah, I do all the time.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brody saying beef, Tressa saying pork, Seth saying beef, Chet saying beef, Christine saying beef, Giannis saying pork, Randall saying pork, Logan saying beef. The correct answer is pork. So about half the room got it right. El Pastor translates to shepherd style in English. Pork that's cooked El Pastor is usually marinated in dried chilies and pineapple and then roasted on a rotating spit. The meal was created in Mexico but has Lebanese influence.
I was thinking of tongue, but that's lengua, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be a good trivia question for the future. Phil, we have two questions left. Where does the scoreboard stand? And I'm looking forward to being blown away here.
Logan, Chester, Seth, Christine, and Tressa. It was your LC, but now you've gone extinct. Brody has 4 points, Randall has 5, and in first place with 6 points, it's Giannis the Eagle Poutelis.
That's what I'm talking about, dude. Good, that just made my day, Phil.
Last Fantastic. Time we made that request, Phil came in with like one of the best lines ever said on this podcast. He said, if you can't take the heat, then get out of the meat eater studio. It was really good, Phil. Well done. Question 9, the topic is woodsmanship. Name one of the 5 best states to live in if you hate mosquitoes. Now, this is according to a 2023 study that looked at data from every state except Hawaii. And to be fair to some of the folks in this room, last episode, I asked about the 5 worst states to live in if you hate mosquitoes. That answer was Louisiana, Florida, South Dakota, New York, and Texas. So there is 5 to take off your list, as well as Hawaii, because they were not in this study. Again, the question is, name one of the 5 best states to live in if you hate mosquitoes. Brody, how do you feel about your answer this time around to this dumb question?
I didn't call it dumb.
Okay. You think you have a shot?
I think... yes. I feel like this is easier than last week's question.
Yeah, this one feels easy, but I could have it wrong.
The hint here is that the answer for the worst states to live in if you hate mosquitoes, those were Louisiana, Florida, South Dakota, New York, and Texas, and this study did not include Hawaii.
I'm surprised Maine didn't actually make that list from worst mosquito states, too.
Yeah, Maynards will say that the state bird is a mosquito.
I think every state says that
that's true.
Their state bird is the mosquito. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Brody saying Arizona, Tressa saying Arizona, Seth saying Arizona, Chester saying Nevada, Christine saying Kansas, Giannis saying Arizona, Randall saying Nevada, Logan saying Arizona. The 5 states are Michigan, Nevada, Washington, Oregon, and Utah. Arizona was not in the top 5.
What?
Michigan?
Oh, what?
Again, as we discussed last
week, question your sources.
These states were ranked on a 100-point scale that looked at things like number of mosquito species and the number of mosquito-transmitted diseases. Michigan was rated as the best state to live in if you hate mosquitoes with a score of 20. That's followed
Never get bit by mosquitoes,
Nevada
though,
at 25, Washington and Oregon at 28, and Utah at 29. 10.
And utter lunacy.
Other states in the top 10 include Idaho, Alaska, Massachusetts, Tennessee, and Kansas.
Have you ever heard of Pure Michigan, like where they advertise all the lakes and stuff, you know? I don't get
Disclose your source, Spencer.
This was an insurance company had this study done to learn about states where mosquitoes are the worst.
There's no other smell that brings me back to my childhood.
Backwoods off?
Yeah, exactly. Or Cutter.
Citronella.
And that's how good Michigan is. The other 49 states are all better if you, are all worse if you hate mosquitoes. So you were lucky, Yanni. Get it that way.
I guess so.
Phil, we have one question left. What does the leaderboard look like?
The only two players left in the game are Giannis and Randall, who are all tied up with 6 points.
Oh, boy.
Randall, you're looking a little peaked.
I feel awful. I feel awful. My heart is racing out of control. My stomach is just full of black coffee. I'm just preparing myself for collapse.
You had a big weekend of wedding festivities.
Indeed, I did.
Yeah.
Question 10. The topic is hunting. What animal has a score minimum of 67 in the Pope and Young record book? What animal has a score minimum of 67 in the Pope and Young record book? Brody with a quick answer. Tressa, Seth, Chester, all with quick answers as well. Tressa, are you going to get this one right? No, okay. Seth, changing an answer.
Nope, just okay. Adding to it.
Just adding to it.
Some might take that as a hint.
Maybe.
Yeah, Seth.
Yanni, do you have this one right?
I don't know.
Okay.
Got a good guess.
Christine, I think we're waiting on you.
What do you think?
It's not what I have, but it's good.
It's not what I have.
Christine, are you ready?
Well, I saw Yanni's board, but now I feel really guilty.
Do whatever you want.
I think he's wrong.
There's a lot of board flashing going on.
Randall, let me see your board.
Keep that. I saw you.
Like Spencer's lost control here.
Yeah.
You're all Is everybody ready?
I'm
much
ready.
Too lighthearted.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. Ooh, we have Brody saying pronghorn. Tressa saying mule deer. Seth saying coos deer. Chet saying antelope. Christine saying pronghorn. Giannis saying mountain goat. Randall saying pronghorn. Logan saying deer. We have a correct answer in the room. It's pronghorn, making Randall our winner with 7 correct answers.
Nice.
Good job, Randall.
Well done, Randall. Randall, did you know that answer, or was it just a guess?
Yeah. It made sense to me.
And Yanni, tell me about your answer of mountain goat.
I don't know. I just thought of an animal that, is not, they're probably even less than 60s.
Their minimum is 40. To get in the book with a mountain goat. Other animals in that ballpark include coos deer at 70 inches
and
Sitka blacktails at 75 inches. An antelope is scored by taking 12 measurements that include length of horns, circumference of horns, and length of prongs. The Pope and Young world record, which was killed in Arizona, taped out at over 91 inches. Randall, with our winner getting 7 points, no overtime needed, you get to choose where the $500 donation from Meat Eater goes. So what's it going to be?
Make it fun, Randall.
What would be a not fun answer, you think?
Well, when someone says just the same old conservation organization that we hear 90% of the time
on
the show.
A lot of pressure. It sounds like Yanni's talking to your former employer.
Oh, jeez.
Does that have anything to do with the shirt you're wearing?
Oh, I am. I'm wearing a TRCP shirt.
Okay.
I was going to go with the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership. They were here in our office recently hosting a summit about chronic wasting disease with a lot of leading scientists and industry leaders and nonprofits. And just happy that I can, I'm back in the winner's circle and able to support an organization that's dear to my heart.
Were you at that summit, Randall?
No, I wasn't. I was across the hallway, so I heard some of the louder interjections by members of the Steve.
Was that a thing?
I could hear Steve.
Really? Okay.
I think he was just sitting in the right seat. But yeah, I was across the hall.
He's always sitting in the right seat for interjections.
No, it was a good event. It was an impressive crowd.
Well done, Randall.
Sitting in my office, working away.
Decisive victory. Yanni, do you think pronghorn would have been your second choice?
Maybe. I didn't have a second choice.
Oh, okay.
Just chose one.
Not good enough this time.
No.
Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Thanks, Spencer.
Woo. Thanks, Spencer.
Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned with food-safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge, reaching all the way up to 500 degrees. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle. Sport Dog is the most recognized brand in the hunting dog training industry. The Sport Dog promise to consumers is simple. Gear the way you'd design it. Every product Sport Dog builds is meticulously designed and rigorously tested in the field, ensuring it withstands the toughest conditions you and your dog may encounter.
I've used that Sport Dog collar in different temperatures. It just doesn't stop working.
Get 20% off your first purchase using code MEATEATER. So go to www.sportdog.com/MEATEATER to learn more.